Amina is an activist during the Arab Spring. Her blog, Gay Girl in Damascus, attracts readers from around the world. When she's mysteriously abducted, her followers mobilize, desperate to save her. What they find shocks them. I'm Samira Moyeddin, the host of Gay Girl Gone, a new 6-part series from CBC. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I'm John Cullen. I'm a semi-professional curler and fully professional comedian, and I'm here to tell you about the story of curling's biggest scandal that has never been told. That is, until now. In my new podcast, Broomgate, I'm on a daring mission to uncover the truth about how the curling community was almost destroyed by a broom. Over the course of 6 episodes, I'll delve into the unbelievable, never-before-told true story of a scandal that rocked the sport of curling. Yes, curling. Now, here's the first episode of Broomgate. It's Thursday, September 10th, 2015, and my phone is blowing up. My friends are all texting me, "John, are you seeing what's happening right now?" They tell me it's an emergency, and I have to turn on the TV.
It is the Pinties' Grand Slam of curling on Sportsnet, and they are fired up for the first event of 2015-2016. It's the Tour Challenge in Paradise, Newfoundland, and Labrador.
Walking onto the ice is a man named Brad Gujou. Ask most anyone in Canada to name a curler, and whether you're into the game or not, they'll have heard of Brad. If Brad isn't the Michael Jordan of curling, he might be the LeBron James, the best curler of this generation, and someone who is innovating the sport on and off the ice.
The 12-time Newfoundland men's champion, 3-time Grand Slam champion, 2006 Olympic gold medalist from St. John's, Newfoundland, Team Gujou.
The texts from my friends, who are elite curlers and broadcasters from around the world, are telling me that Brad is trying something that no one has ever seen before. They can't figure out what the hell is going on. And once I turn the TV on, neither can I.
I'm sensing there's a favorite in the house. Maybe, maybe not.
All curling teams consist of 4 players. The skip is in charge of the strategy for the team. The team's boss. Brad Gujou is the skip of his team. And like lots of bosses, he does an awful lot of yelling.
Yes, yes. Hard.
As Brad Gujou was yelling, hurry. Now they're using a theory, or trying out a theory, of where what sweeper should sweep and on what kind of side of the sliding surface.
What Gujou is doing is he is using just one sweeper. One sweeper. This approach, that's what my friends were blowing up my phone about. Curling teams always use 2 sweepers, but during this game, there's only 1. And we didn't know why.
So they were trying to hold that rock straighter by having one sweeper on the outside, sweeping hard, and the other one not.
What I'm seeing is Brad's teammate Brett Gallant sweeping the rock up the ice. And him alone. The other team was looking on in confusion, and so was I. Sitting at home on the couch, I thought to myself, what possible benefit could this have? It looked really strange. While Brett madly swept in front of the rock as it traveled down the ice, his sweeping partner, who would normally be brushing along with him, was just kind of walking beside the rock, doing nothing, like he had just given up.
What do you think of that, Kevin?
You don't like just nosing it in?
Well, I think the inside sweeper certainly should be on the inside of the curl of the rock.
2010 Olympic gold medalist Kevin Martin was in the broadcast booth that day.
To not have the other person out front cleaning in a frosty situation doesn't make a lot of sense, I don't think. But we'll see how it goes as the game progresses, but it may be a theory that maybe short-lived.
But Kevin was wrong. Within weeks, every competitive curling team on the planet would switch to using one sweeper. It wasn't because they were lazy. It wasn't because the rocks or the ice changed. It was because of one thing and one thing only. A broom. A new super broom, made of a mysterious material never used before. And that broom, combined with the one sweeper technique, would lead to the biggest scandal in curling history. This is Broomgate, the story of how a broom almost killed curling. When I say the word Broomgate, what does that mean to you?
Ugh.
That's when that tight-knit fabric amongst the top competitive teams started to be ripped apart.
I think some friendships were ended.
This is a mess.
Very stressful, a lot of sleepless nights.
It felt super personal because it was being called a cheater.
When you're first one out the door, you're going to get bloody, people are going to come after you.
Like, it was just toxic. It was so toxic.
A very stressful, traumatic curling season. My least fun curling season of my entire career.
It was a year I'd like to forget. While some people might have wanted to forget about Broomgate, there was no way. Not once the controversy hit late night TV.
Folks, this is one sports controversy you can't just sweep under the rug. I bristle at the idea. I try to brush off the allegations all you want, but this sort of thing doesn't happen in a vacuum.
It took just 2 months for this scandal to move beyond the world of curling. By November of 2015, the New York Times, CNN, and the Washington Post had picked up on the story. Stephen Colbert did a full 6-minute segment on it.
Point is, I'm a curling purist. As far as I'm concerned, it's all gone downhill ever since they started playing indoors. I prefer the original 16th century Scottish rules. Just a group of guys on a frozen pond, hurling flat-bottom river stones and probably falling through the ice. Whoever doesn't die wins. Now that's a sport.
My name is John Cullen. If you're the kind of curling sicko who knows who finished second at the 2015 British Columbia Curling Championships, well, then you might have heard of me. I was what's commonly referred to as a Tier 2 curler. My team won a handful of World Curling Tour events, a modest amount of cash, and peaked at number 30 in the world. I have 7 provincial medals to my name. And none of them are gold. I started curling when I was 12. I'd always been intrigued by seeing it on TV, and when my grade 7 teacher took our class to a curling rink one day, I loved it. The physicality of the sport appealed to me as a lifelong hockey player, and the strategic aspect of the sport appealed to me as a lifelong nerd. Soon enough, curling became my main thing. In high school, I practiced so much that the ice maker of my local curling club gave me a set of keys. As an adult, I spent all my time off of work going to curling tournaments. Look, my email address was cullenthecurler@hotmail.com. For 20 years, the sport was my life, and I loved every minute of it. Well, except for 1 year. It was 2015, the year of Broomgate. It was a complete disaster. All my friends were fighting with each other, people were screaming at me online. What had been previously described as a gentleman's game was anything but. And now, 8 years later, no one talks about it. The full story has never been told. So, I'm gonna tell it. I love curling, always have. I don't want this to happen again. So maybe, if we talk about it, it won't.
Curling, like love, is a disease of the mind. One needs a cardigan, a comfortable cap, rubbers, a broom, and stones. Stones? A broom?
If you're just catching up, yeah, a broom. It's the most important piece of equipment in curling.
Fundamentals of a good curling delivery. Don't change the position of the head, shoulders, or body, except to elevate them by straightening the knees.
This sweet, very Canadian film from 1963 shows us one fundamental thing about curling. very little has changed. Curling is actually considered to be one of the oldest team sports known to man. A stone was found in Scotland with the date 1511 inscribed on it.
Oh, sure. Keep your foot in the hack. Use it to push off.
The basic rules haven't changed in hundreds of years. The key is to have more stones stay in the bullseye, known as the house, at the end of the game than your opponents. To do that, every member of the team gets their turn at being the shooter and moving the rock down the ice. But once that rock is let go, it's in the sweeper's hands to make it perfect.
Slide the stone easily. Let the weight of the stone work for you. Keep your eye on the broom. I've got it. Easy now.
For most of my career, I was considered a pretty good sweeper. And for nearly a decade, Jay Wakefield was my sweeping partner.
I'm an introverted person, so like having less people to interact with was always a better thing for me.
I wanted to talk to Jay about the ripple effect of the one sweeper technique and our years sweeping together.
I've always just played with my best friends. I've only had a handful of teams where, you know, maybe me and another guy on the team didn't really get along. So,
but to be clear, I wasn't one of the guys you didn't like.
You were not. No, it's hard to go 10 years playing with the same guy if you don't like them.
This is very true. And it's especially true when it comes to me and Jay.
So obviously, not just do you spend a lot of time together, but you spend a lot of time on the ice together. You spend every shot in each other's face talking to each other. It's just a lot of constant communication.
My wife once told Jay that when she watches us sweep together, it looks like we're kissing.
Maybe subconsciously we wanted to. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
But
what do you remember about the switch to one sweeper?
I remember I was out doing something. I can't remember what. And my phone started to blow up with all my curling friends being like, "You watching this?" So I got home and I looked and I'm like, "What the hell's going on here?" And it was all this kind of chaos, for lack of a better word. We had absolutely no idea really what the one sweeper thing was all about and like how to actually try to make it do what they were doing.
It took us a while to catch up, but like every other competitive team at the time, we made the switch. Do you think curling like lost something a little bit when all of a sudden only one guy's now sweeping at a time? Was some of that art kind of lost?
Yeah, I think it did. I think at the time, being a competitive sweeper, I felt like my job was less sacred, I guess. Like some of the art was gone. And some of the skill was gone because all of a sudden I could just like do whatever with the broom and make the shot, right?
I feel that way too. It wasn't like the one sweeper method took away all the skill I had developed over two decades. Jay and I were still a team within a team. But sweeping had become less of a sacred bond between two teammates. And as I make my way through this story, I do feel a sense of loss. I think a lot of us did. But it wasn't just the one sweeper technique that made us feel like something had shifted. The reason we were all sweeping differently was because of a broom. Over time, curling brooms have evolved. Originally, they were like the brooms you'd find in your house or with a witch's costume, made of corn or straw and mostly meant to remove debris from the ice. As technology improved, they moved from corn to hair to what we use today, something that looks like a Swiffer but with a specialized fabric head. Over the last two decades, broom manufacturers have experimented with different fabrics with varying results. But no one started paying attention to broom technology until two brothers, Archie and Hratch Manavian, came along with a broom head that would change the game forever.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's the older brother?
Archie. I'm 10 years younger. Even though I look 10 years older, I'm 10 years younger. That's what happens when you work with them, you know?
My producer Kathleen Goldhar and I meet Archie and Harachman Avian at the headquarters of Hardline, one of the world's largest curling broom manufacturers. It's tucked away in a suburb of Montreal, not far from the airport. Hardline's office belies their status as one of curling's big dogs. It's in a one-story building in the corner of an industrial park. This is decidedly not the Nike World headquarters. Archie and Harach sit together behind one desk. It's cluttered with invoices, loose sticky notes, and office equipment. Behind the brothers, the wall is covered from top to bottom with team photos. Men and women holding their brooms, wearing t-shirts with Hardline emblazoned on them, and medals around their necks or holding up trophies. There's no pretense with the brothers. They're kind of rough, speak their minds, could even be intimidating on initial meeting. But their warmth is contagious, and the love they have for each other is very close to the surface.
I don't know if I'd call myself a bully, but...
This is Archie.
Let's just say he grew up not taking my shit.
He was a very good older brother. He showed me life, you know, showed me the ropes, and he was always there, always had my back in a lot of ways. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have an older brother like that. He basically, took care of me. I mean, we both lost our dads when I was really young, so he was the guy that made sure that I was on the right path.
Harach was 16, Archie 26, when their dad died in a car accident while on vacation in Armenia.
I was 16. I remember I was in secondary four, which is, 10th grade. I had final exams 2 weeks later after that. And my brother was young too, so he was 26, and he had to go there and, you know, bring him back. Our mother was in the same car accident, so we had to take care of her too at the same time. So we grew up pretty fast. It's life. It happens.
You guys aren't professional curlers, right? How did you find your way to Hardline?
Only in our heads we're professional. We're professional armchair curlers, basically, is what we are. A friend of mine that I played ball with begged me for 10 years to go try it out, and I used to tell him, you know, come on, man, it's for old people. And I used to brush him off all the time. And this one year I caved. I said, you know what, just to shut you up, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to try it and then leave me alone. And he said, no problem. And I walked in the door, fell in love with the game, and the rest is history.
But before he discovered curling, Archie's life was all over the place.
I was on the path to become a ski bum, actually. I was living in Whistler and just enjoying life, and came back, and my father used to own a small business and worked with him for a bit and didn't like that. Then I went to work for a friend of mine at a food company and didn't really like that too much. And I'm the kind of guy that needs to be outside. I can't be indoors.
So Archie found a job that took him outside.
I was an information distribution engineer.
What the fuck does that mean?
I was a mailman. I was a mailman for the Postal Service, and I loved my job. It was a great job. It was starting to wear on me, but it was never a fact of I have to find something else.
Their mother wasn't too excited about the way Archie's life was going, and so she put pressure on Harach to make something of himself.
She put her foot down with Harach and made him hit the books, and he actually made something of himself by getting an MBA, going to work on Wall Street for 15 years, and he took on the big boys and won.
So before Hardline was born, Archie the mailman was just a local curler who loved to hang with his buddies after work and play a few games, then shoot the shit over a beer. And Harach was working on Wall Street. The inspiration for Hardline came to Archie in 2009 when he was at a Bonspiel, a fancy name for a curling tournament, in Charlevoix, Quebec.
There's a Bonspiel that everyone should attend once in their lifetime, about an hour and a half outside Quebec City.
At the Bonspiel, a curling legend named Randy Furby and his team caught Archie's eye.
They had these custom brooms, and our eyes were popping out of our heads. We got the brilliant idea of coming out with custom brooms at the time. And we were on a high all weekend.
Archie would return home from Charlevoix just buzzing. Which is funny, because the broom he's talking about doesn't have anything to do with performance, but rather just a custom paint job done on an existing broom. And he wasn't even imagining starting a custom curling broom empire. He was just excited about the idea of making a bunch of brooms for his team. But he very quickly hit a snag.
The airbrush artist told me it was going to be roughly $100 a broom.
So that would be too expensive.
I was on a bit of a downer for a week or two, and I met a friend of mine. And he says, oh, you look a little bit down. And I told him the entire story. And he said, well, what are these brooms made of? And I said, well, the carbon fiber. And he tells me he's got a friend in the carbon fiber business. You know, why don't you give him a call?
The good news was that this guy could make the brooms for cheaper. The bad news was that he'd have to make a bulk order. So he called one of his curling buddies, Stan Fong, with a proposal.
Listen, we should really try this out. You know, we'll make a few hundred brooms. And if they sell, they sell. And if they don't, well, it is what it is. And so we basically got, I think at that time it was 7 guys to pitch in $500. And Hardline was born.
Archie had unintentionally launched a curling broom company. But so far, all he had were broom handles. A broom is nothing without its head. When it comes to curling, the head is crazy important. It's what helps to control the rock as it travels down the ice. Sweeping reduces the friction between the rock and the ice, allowing it to travel further and straighter. While curling had evolved to synthetic fabric broom heads, there were always issues with the fabric wearing down. And with the repeated use and the gathering of frost on the head, a lot of brooms weren't nearly as effective as they could have been. So Archie started to shop around for the best head he could find to put on his carbon fiber handles. He could have just licensed a broom head from an existing manufacturer, but that's not the Archie way.
At that time, we were getting handed lots of heads to try out, saying that it was the best head on the market. And I had told them that, you know what, I'm going to try it, give you a review on it. And basically, they weren't really that good.
Archie kept turning down broom heads presented to him. That's until he met with a mysterious inventor who showed Archie something a little bit different.
The ice pad was basically put into my hands and they said, like, you got to try this. So I tried it. The ease of sweeping of the ice pad and the fact that the fabric, you could clean it, whereas the other pads on the market, once they got dirty, you have to change them because they're useless. I said, this is going to be like really, really good. And I said, well, listen, if you were to give me worldwide exclusivity on selling this, I think we can make this work. And he said, sure. And that's how it all started.
Archie named his new head the Ice Pad, a new broom head made of an unidentified fabric by an unidentified inventor.
Who handed you the ice pad?
Well, the inventor.
Who's that?
The inventor.
Why won't you tell us who that is?
It's irrelevant.
No, I think it's not. I don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
Well, why do you want to know the name?
Because he invented this great thing. I want to talk to him about what he invented and what he did.
Well, you can look it up.
We did look it up. We couldn't find the inventor. As you might imagine, information on inventors who specialize in finding the best possible fabric for a curling broom is not so readily available. But what we do know is that this broom material is incredibly versatile, strong, and waterproof. It makes sweeping feel easy, a little too easy. So easy that you only need one sweeper. This now brings us back to the 2015-16 season, me sitting on the couch with my phone going crazy, watching that Grand Slam in Newfoundland, where Brad Gugeau and his team stepped out onto the ice and changed the game forever. But it wasn't just the one sweeper technique they were showing off for the first time. It was the powerful magic of Hardline's broom.
All you got to do is put the broom in front of the rock and the rock starts going whatever direction you want.
Brad Gujew.
If everybody can't figure it out, they're idiots. But we're not going to tell everybody, but we're going to show you. We're going to show you the impact that these could have.
The broom could take the rock in, quote, whatever direction you want. And Hardline-sponsored players had been using the broom for a couple of years now. And the curling community started to wonder, was it giving them an unfair advantage?
The problem is there's a whole lack of trust now among the players. There was a great camaraderie among the players out here on the tour, and it's a big divisor now, and that's kind of sad for the sport, to be frank.
Quickly, suspicions around this broom started to tear at the very fabric of my community.
You know, the problem between the teams, that you know, guys that were friends recently, they're not talking to each other.
Is this sport becoming cutthroat? Is money changing the sport?
But here's the thing. There's something I haven't told you. Years before Brad showed the world what this broom could do, I was one of the first curlers to use a hardline broom. And I loved it. I told all my curling friends about it. And so when Hardline wanted some star power, I convinced one of my friends, who just so happened to be one of the best curlers in the world, to use the broom. And little did I know what would happen next. Call it what you want. Call it the butterfly effect. Call me patient zero, the first domino. But I'm here to tell you, I might have caused Broomgate. This season on Broomgate.
Was there ever a thought in your mind that they were cheating?
The thought crossed our mind were they were aware of this and they hit it.
This type of technology is going to ruin the sport.
So why did you do it?
Because we wanted the technology race to stop.
It was awful. It was so unpleasant to be at curling events, which is usually, I just said, it's my favorite part of the game.
He goes, this is these brooms. This is what we're dealing with. You can manipulate this rock like it's on a joystick. We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
And that's when I said, these guys want a war. I'm going to give them a war they're never going to forget.
Broomgate is a production of USG Audio and CBC in association with Pacific Electric and Kelly & Kelly. Hosted by me, John Cullen, and concept devised by John Cullen and Kelly & Kelly. Showrunner is Kathleen Goldhar. Executive producers are Josh Block from USG Audio, Mike Falbo, Ed Helms, and Brett Harris from Pacific Electric, Chris Kelly, Lauren Berkovich, and Pat Kelly from Kelly & Kelly, Chris Oak and Cecil Fernandez from CBC, and John Cullen. Assistant editor is Max Collins. Editor is Mitchell Stewart. Production support from Josh LaLonghi at USG Audio. Veronica Simmons is our senior producer. Our theme song is by Chris Kelly. Tanya Springer is senior manager, and RF Narani is the director of CBC Podcasts. That was the first episode of Broomgate. You can listen to the next episode right now. Just search for Broomgate wherever you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.